Judiciary is called to order. It's 2:50, and thank you to our Madam Clerk and to teleconferencing. We're starting a little bit late today in light of the PPT hearings that were going on, and I appreciate members accommodating that. We have two pretty easy bills, actually, to bring up today, and then we'll meet at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So present for the record are Representatives Gruenberg, Coghill, Anderson, and McGuire. We have a quorum to conduct business, and we'll go ahead and take up the revisers bill first, House Bill 410, and Pam Finley is here. And I asked her earlier if she could recall a single time that there was a substantive provision in the revisers bill, and she said one time somebody in the other body, the dark side, tried to put one in, and she quashed them down. So
I've tried.
Oh, well. So tell us about the revisers bill, and don't put us to sleep.
I want to thank the committee for hearing this so promptly. I do appreciate that. The revisers bill is essentially a cleanup bill. The sources for the changes are our own editorial review in-house, suggestions from the public if they find errors, and also from the executive branch. My standard for putting something in the bill is that there be no policy changes, that the policy be already set, and that what we're doing is correcting drafting oversights or errors or things which have become obsolete over time, for instance, changes in federal USC sites and things like that. The process is that I prepare it. I send a draft to the Department of Law for them to look at it and make any critique they have, and then it goes to Ledge Council and then through the normal process. I have prepared a sectional analysis and would entertain any questions about the existing bill. I also, I think in your packets there are five proposed amendments. I would withdraw Amendment 2, which has to do with the Division of State Troopers. Apparently they call themselves something other than what the statute refers to them as. So I'm just going to leave that one, and they can clean it up in their own bill if they want. But would you like me to go over the amendments?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Gruenberg.
Okay, I apologize with all the other stuff I'm doing. I haven't had the time to give the hours of study I normally do to this. But let's just take, if we can, since there are only four of us and we're moving two simple bills here, I would like to just sort, and I'm looking at Pam's sectional here. I'm looking at the section of, I don't have any problems up to section 12, but I'd like to look at section 12 for a minute, just so it's on the record what you're doing here.
Yep.
If we could, Madam Chair, if I may dialogue.
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Finley?
What am I doing? Title 15 is the Elections Code. It refers frequently to the Division of Elections, but it never creates it in statute, nor does it ever define it. What we have is that a statement that the Lieutenant Governor shall control and supervise the Division of Elections. So there's a sort of assumption that it's there, but there is no language that says statutorily the division is created, which there ought to be, just as a technical matter. So that's what Section 12 does. And what Section 14 does is add a definition for division as used in the Elections Code.
Just, I have obviously no problem with this. At some point, I might want to prefer that the Division of Elections not be in the Lieutenant Governor's office, but be an independent body. That's something for us to think about, and I'd say this if it were a Democratic administration too. It's something that probably ought to be totally bipartisan, totally separate and out of that. But since it's where it is, I have no problem. But I do want to note for the record that we are, since I see you're also creating a division of workers' comp, that we are allowing the creation of divisions to go forth in revisers' bills, and we are considering them technical. And I think that we should, at least there should be some written statement that because of the unusual nature of these, we're allowing it to go in the revisor's bill. I don't want this to create a precedent. And I'm wondering, Madam Chair, and I'd ask Ms. Findley, if you could create a short one or two sentence letter of intent to accompany the bill, that this is not to be considered a precedent, because I have not seen this in a revisor's bill before. And I will be prepared to move that if she could draft that for us.
Ms. Findley?
Yes, I certainly could. And I would say that the reason that I was doing that in both situations is because the statutes are already written as if the division exists.
And I think that should be clear in the... I think it should be a letter of intent. I don't think it rises to the level of an intent section, but I think it should be there in the journal.
I just have a question. Perhaps I could put that in the sectional, because the sectional ends up in the journal, too.
Would you mind?
No.
That would... and I think that maybe if you could say, reference those sections somewhere and say the House Judiciary Committee specifically recognized this as being done in this bill because of the unusual nature, since it's already in the statute, it's not to be considered a precedent.
Okay.
And I'm just, if you could just give me a moment to quickly. It maybe it would help it even going through really, really briefly, starting in number 17, one sentence or less on this, just so I can follow. I gather 17 is just a technical amendment, huh?
Yes, the feds changed the number of their statute.
And numbers 18 and 19, I gather that's there's no longer a director of Division of Veterans Affairs?
There never was.
And there's no need to create a Division of Veterans Affairs. I mean, that doesn't do it in this.
Is it? This is one of these things that happens, that people refer to, when they're creating a statute, they refer to something that exists administratively but not statutorily. And then when it ceases to exist administratively, you have this stuff left over in the statutes, but it doesn't really belong there.
I'm on 30, if I may dialogue, Madam Chair. 31 and 32. Tell me about that. Is that technical or what?
Yes. 3950-200A defines public official as a bunch of people, and B defines, I believe it's the entity. Exactly what the thing they're defining is, but I think it's...
And why are we...
And what the way the law reads now is we have people in the definition of entity, but they're not in the definition of the people, where they belong.
I see, okay.
And there is, as a matter of fact, a separate provision in the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation statutes that specifically says that 3950 applies to them. So there's no question about that. It's just that... They're sort of put in the wrong subsection.
Okay, moving down, I think the next one of any concern would be 35. We're creating a definition, but this is something that's... Madam Chair,
yes.
My questions are more to whether these are, quote, technical or not, since they're a little unusual.
Okay.
And I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's a good idea, but I want to be sure that we are within what you do.
What happened is that last session we passed a bill in which we used the terms Qualified Regional Seafood Development Association and Seafood Development Region.
They just referenced back.
And they just referenced back. In the bill it was actually quite clear, because we had two, the 4433065 provisions were in that bill. So when you looked at it, it made perfect sense. One bill section created these qualified regional seafood development associations, and then this other section of the bill talked about them. But in fact, they ended up in different parts of the statute.
Okay. Moving to section 36, I'm sure that the judicial districts are not exactly the congruent with the senatorial districts, but close enough for government work?
Yes, that is correct. If you really want to know the differences, I may be...
No, I don't.
But they're very minor.
No.
They're very minor.
Okay. Let me continue here.
Susan's wishing she would have woken up with the head cold
today.
These
repealers are just very technical repealers.
Yes, actually, the last page of the sectional has the text of the repealed provisions.
I see. Okay, now the last one I'm looking at is the very... Oh, it should have been repealed. Oh. You're quite sure that's technical?
Yes, because of the C3...
Because it was clear that it was intended to be repealed?
Yes, it doesn't make any sense without
okay.
C3.
Okay. With that, I have no questions about the text itself, Madam Chair. If we could just then go on to the amendments, and if you want somebody to make motions, I'm happy to do that.
Great. Representative Groenberg.
Well, Madam Chair, maybe she could explain the amendments, and I'll just move them one after the other, or each one, on each one, and then I'll move it.
Left off, Pam?
Amendment 1 amends AS 0965-161, which is an immunity statute. This immunity statute was tied, and still ought to be tied, to healthcare data reports under AS 1805. And last session, a governor's bill came in and changed the terminology of public health significance to public health importance in 1805, but failed to make the equivalent change in this immunity statute. And we discovered this actually looking at the ring. Harry Lauterbach found it. Bless
okay.
Her. So that's where that...
Why don't we, since we know what Amendment Number 1 is...
Want an offer?
Representative Groenberg.
Labeling A1 as Amendment Number 1, I'll assume that these will comport with the A numbers. So A1 is 1, A2, et cetera.
Okay. Amendment.
I'll move A1.
A1 has been moved. Is there an objection to it? Okay, hearing none, Amendment A1 passes. Ms. Finley.
The next is A3. As I said, I'm skipping A2.
Okay.
Does that mean we're not going to do A2?
That means we're not going to do A2.
Okay. So do we label A3 the number 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Save it.
What this would do is give a short title to AS 2460, which is known commonly as the Legislative Ethics Act, but it doesn't have a statutory statement. And if we can give it a statutory statement, it's much easier for us to put it in bill titles, quite frankly.
I'm happy to offer this being on that joint select committee.
Yeah.
So I'll offer it.
Let's see. No objection. Let's get through with the amendments. Representative Coghill's got a meeting.
Okay.
So what I was thinking is if we could just the voting section
here. See if
we
can get to this bill to move
and
it.
Then we can introduce the next bill, which is the rule of necessity. It's easy, but I'll wait and have you come back down for the vote.
Because I'm going to have to make some changes on that anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't want to move it
on
today.
Pam's analysis, I mean, I don't think we're going to have many objections.
Okay. Amendment A3 has been moved.
A4?
And is there an objection to A3? Okay, hearing none, A3 passes. A4?
This adds a short title to the Alaska Executive Branch Ethics Act, which is also has this common meaning, but it doesn't...
I'll move Amendment 4.
Is there an objection to A4? Hearing none, A4 carries. A5?
A5 is a little bit more complicated. What happened is the Alaska Council was... The Coastal Policy Council was repealed in 2003, but there was one little reference to it that was not caught. And the Department of Law recently brought this to my attention, I offer it here. I was a little nervous about it, but then I went back and looked in the statutory law, and the department actually has the power to define the criteria for area which merits special attention. So the substantive power of the department is already in existing law, and this just conforms it.
I'll move the amendment.
Is there an objection to A5? Hearing none, Amendment A5 carries. Further amendments to House Bill 410?
I'll move the bill with individual recommendations attached to fiscal note.
Is there an objection to the movement of House Bill 410? Okay, hearing none, House Bill 410 moves. Thank you.
Yeah. You survived the gauntlet.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If this is going to be brought up and you're not on the floor and you want somebody to help deal with it on the floor. Yeah.
Thank you, Representative Gruenberg. That would be great. So
I appreciate your reading it, sir.
Yeah. Okay, so that Thank brings you. House Bill 486 before us. This is really Representative Gruenberg's baby.
Madam Chair, I see we have, are you here to testify? Maybe we could hear, it was my intent, since we had some comments from the bill drafters that hadn't been incorporated, I just wanted to take some testimony today, and then I'll work on the text of the bill. So I wasn't.
Okay, so you're not ready to move it anyway.
No.
Okay, then you know what? We don't need you just to take testimony.
So
you can tell her.
Yeah. Maybe we could just hear from Mr. Woolover.
Mr. Woolover. Boy, this is the easiest judiciary hearing I have had.
No.
I love it. I wish it was always this way.
For the record, my name is Doug Woolover. I'm the administrative attorney for the Alaska court system. I guess I just have a concern about the bill. I'm not sure exactly what problem it's seeking to fix, but a little concerned that it's just broadly drafted, particularly the sections that amend the rule where it says if no other judge is available to act in the matter. It's unclear whether that means now, today, this evening, over the weekend, or anywhere.
That was brought up by the drafter, too.
Okay.
I'm going to have to work on that. Madam
Chair,
our
only concern with the
purpose of the bill was to deal actually with an Amarada Hess problem that we passed
exactly
years
right.
ago. And and frankly, I had asked, and we need to get that bill file. I want to see if we can put that in here. Do you remember when the Amarada Hess came out, Mr. Woolover, through the chair? Said you can't be disqualified from sitting in a case just because you get a permanent fund dividend.
Right. We have a court rule to that effect.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to, there was something something in there, and I'm not sure, but I thought it was that we might have to repeal some things, but the point being that there are some reasons. I wanted to codify the common law rule of necessity, which states that if there's nobody who can hear a case, then nobody's disqualified. It was, well, there have been some cases, and I think the Supreme Court has ruled on it here. I mean, there's cases involving federal judicial pensions and stuff like that, and it's just basically to codify it. And I'll work with you on the drafting and stuff.
I'd be fine.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Yeah. Max came to me after the. We had a bill that was dealing with Amarada Hess and that special fund, and it came through our committee for constitutional reasons, and then it brought up the idea. It was the POMV bill, and it brought up the idea of the. Of the rule of necessity and whether or not it ought to be codified, the common law rule. And so I told Max we'd go ahead and introduce the bill. So if you have compelling arguments for why it shouldn't, talk to Max.
Yeah, and I'm not going to, I want to cure these problems and then we'll see where we go.
Okay.
Very good.
So with that, we're adjourned. I can't believe it.